Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
So, you know, there was a new pastor that just arrived in town and was only into his third week of serving a church when he received a call from the funeral director asking him if he could come to a graveside service at this small cemetery. And because the deceased had no friends or family that the director knew of, it was just going to be the pastor and the funeral director at the graveside. Because of another funeral scheduled for the same day, the funeral director told the pastor that they would have to meet at the graveside. And he shared the driving directions. And so the pastor, you know, got started to the cemetery. And he started early, which because it was a ways out of town. And the pastor got lost along the way. He stopped for directions. He got straightened out. And he arrived at the burial site. And he was 30 minutes late. Obviously, this was in the days before cell phones, so obviously he couldn't connect with anybody. But because he was late, he noticed that the funeral director and the hearse were already gone. So he saw the gravedigger sitting under a tree eating lunch, and he spotted the newly dug grave and made his way over. And he saw the vault, which was in its place, and he opened the book of worship, and he began offering the prayers and scripture readings. And he briefly preached on the love of God, and after about 15 minutes, he was finished. With a final silent prayer, he turned and made his way back to the car, waving to the workers that were still under the tree, and then they waved back. And then he heard one of them say, "I've been digging septic tanks for 30 years, and that's the first time I've ever saw one prayed and preached for." Yep. Got to have a little joy in the house, right? You know, the World Happiness Report. Did y'all know that there was a World Happiness Report? It's an annual actual publication put on by the UN, and it ranks 156 countries on how happy they perceive themselves to be. United States started out 15 in the world when the study began and has dropped to 19th place over the years. And it's in terms of happiness, and it's based on people's economics, citizen engagement, community relations, education, law and order, etc. You know what the happiest country in the last 3 years has been? Anybody guess? Someone say Finland? Finland. Finland. And see, that blows my mind. Because it's one of the coldest countries in the world. I don't do cold. And, you know, their yearly temperature, average temperature, is freezing all year long. That's the average. And in northern Finland, the temperature can get as low as negative 50. I don't know about you, but that's not happy to me. I don't like the cold. So, you know, I don't know how they stay happy when they're so cold, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, what do? They just go inside and eat hot cocoa and eat bonbons and have a lot of naps? I mean, that would be nice, have a lot of naps, but I mean, I don't know what makes them happy, but they're happy. You know, it's the happiest place right now. So, you know, the findings from this report, they do remind me of Christ's word in Luke 12. Says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And as followers of Christ, we understand that joy and happiness are not the same. It's just not. And happiness is a feeling you get when things are going well. You get a birthday card in the mail. It's got money in it. That's happy. Your favorite football team wins this Sunday. You're happy. You get a notification that you're going to get a refund this year from Uncle Sam. You're happy. But joy, on the other hand, is a deep sense of pleasure and delight and gladness and just well-being. And it's independent of your circumstances. You know, the Apostle Paul was truly amazing. You know, in the book of Philippians, he's writing to the church, and when you read it just in the context of what he's writing, he sounds like the most joyful man alive. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he's expressing this joy from his heart while he's sitting in prison. He's in prison. I'm sure it's cold. I'm sure he's not eating really well. But the reality is he's in prison and he's writing about joy. Think about that. How happy would you be sitting in prison? So he's sitting in prison and he's encouraging the Philippian church. He's saying, listen, there's a joy that you can enter into that's separate from what you're experiencing in your daily life. That there's a joy that you can discover that can comfort your heart, that encourage your heart, that can uplift your heart, that can give you strength in your inner man. He learned a secret that you can find joy despite your circumstances. So I want to look at Philippians 2. Let's look there. Philippians 2, 14 through 18. Verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I mean, I honestly would probably be expressing my heart to the Lord about being in prison if I was in prison. And I don't know if I would be like really happy. Do without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice, the priests would, as they would offer the sacrifice unto the Lord, they would offer a drink offering, which is they would pour out wine on the offering, and then the smoke would go up, and it would be like incense unto the Lord. But it was an offering, a drink offering upon the sacrifice. Paul is saying, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. There's something here where Paul is discovering that, you know, to live as Christ and to die is gain. There's an element of his self-life that is being poured out. He's laying down his life as an offering. And in that, he's experiencing an internal joy that goes beyond what he's experiencing in the moment. As he's giving of himself, he's giving it all away. He's finding an inner joy in Christ Jesus that has given him inner strength on the inside. And he says, it's for the service of your faith. And in that, he said, I rejoice. And I'm going to like I'm going to give it away. Come on, have some. Have some of my joy. Just take it. It's free. Have it. It's in me. Have it. And in that, he's saying, give it away. But then he's saying, hey, you too. You too can have this joy. It says, I urge you. Come on. He's saying, like, jump in the water. It's warm. He said, you can enter into this joy. You can enter into this moment where you're experiencing the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside. And it's like all of a sudden he's saying, come on, try it. It's free. Jump in. He says, you too, I urge you, come on, jump in. Rejoice in the same way that I am. Rejoice and share your joy with me. Now, come on, give me some back. Let me feel and experience and know that you're joyful, that you have this joy down in your heart, down in your heart. And in this joy, it's something that is ministering to other people as we give it away. I mean, and then he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. You think he's trying to make a point? I mean, really, he's trying to make a point here. And I'm sitting here realizing, you know, he came in touch with something, a reality, an inner reality of something that is sustaining him through a very difficult situation. You know, I was touched this week by a man came up to me. He said, Pastor, can I talk with you for a second? And I said, sure. He was visiting the church, and he brought me. He said, do you guys got a sanctuary here? I said, yeah, we are really a church, you know, even though we have Walmart in our parking lot. Yeah, we are a church. So he came in here, and he said, wow, this is a church. I got to take a picture. So he takes a picture of everything, and then he looks at me with tears in his eyes. And he said, I want you to know that my life has been changed. He said, I have been so touched by having the opportunity to serve the needs of the people in this community. He said, I just came a 7-hour trip, and he had a whole truckload of supplies. And he had brought a box truck full of supplies and everything for our church. And he said, I was here about a week ago, and I came, and just being able to serve and give of my life and to really care for people. He said, I've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, I'm always trying to find ways that I can serve in the church and in my community, and there's really no opportunity. And he says, you guys are providing a platform for people to be able to serve and to give. And he said, my life has been changed. I came here, and, you know, you guys were serving hot meals, and all of a sudden they offered me a hot meal. And I said, no, let that go to the people. But then the person was a little bit persistent. He said, I was a little hungry. So I took the meal, and then he said, I went up on the hillside, and I started eating the meal, and I looked at all the people that were being served. He says, I just started crying. He said, I've never experienced, you know, this before. And he says, you know, he says, your carpet is really dirty in this place. I said, yeah, it is. It is very dirty. And he said, I'm going to take some pictures. Because he says, you know, I'm going to go on back to my church, and I'm going to go raise some money so you guys can get some new carpet in this place. I said, wow. And I said, thank you. I mean, I was just like so taken back. And And you know, there's a joy that you find when you give away of yourself. Like the Apostle Paul says, I am poured out like a drink offering. I'm giving away myself. I'm giving up everything that I am unto the Lord. And as we serve, it's a way of us getting kind of out of ourselves, you know, out of our own issues in life and things that we go through. And as we give away, we find a secret that there's joy to be found in the giving away. You know, as a believer, joy really flows from a deeply rooted conviction that the Lord is good and he's good to all. He's just not good to some, he's good to all. Because David said in Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to everyone, and he showers compassion on all his creation. So the Lord's not, he doesn't have favorites, although I think he likes, you know, no. He doesn't have favorites, but I'm like John, but he really likes me, you know. He's just not good to a few people, and then he gives crumbs to the rest. He shows his deep love to everyone, no matter what you've done in life. But also, there's an inherent joy in the sense that our lives brings God great delight. When you know that you bring Papa God such great delight and joy, there's something in you that just knows that Papa's happy, that your very life is one that he smiles over and that he delights in. And, you know, things can be going awry on the outside, but on the inside, if you know that you bring your Father great delight, there's just a sense of, wow, I can make it through this. He's with me, he loves me, he knows me, and he delights in me. You know, when Jesus was being baptized by John in the River Jordan, it says, then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky saying, this is the Son that I love. And my greatest delight is in him. And you know, I am fully convinced that Jesus, being fully God and man, his humanity, his human side, needed to know that his life brought his Father great delight. I believe with all my heart that the part of Jesus that was a son in the flesh needed to know that Papa loved him and delighted in him and enjoyed everything about him. And I believe you and I need to know that in all that we go through in life, with our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our life still brings the Father great delight. He doesn't change just because you mess up. And I believe some people have a hard time believing that their lives bring God great joy when you look at your past failures, when you look at your shortcomings. You know, all that's rooted in a performance oriented life. If you perform well, he's going to like you. If you don't perform well, he's not going to like you. But what I love about David is that in all of his shortcomings, he still had an unshakable knowing deep within his heart that his life brought God great pleasure. Even in all his shortcomings. Because listen to this. Psalm 18, 19. He also brought me out into an open place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. You know, today I want to look at some ways of recapturing your joy again, rediscovering your joy again. If I were to ask you a question today, it would be this. Are you experiencing continual joy in your life? Are you experiencing continual joy in your life? How would you respond? You know, given all that we've experienced in this region, it's very probable that some of you have lost your joy. You know, we drive around and you see the carnage. You see all the destruction. You see everything, you know, cars flipped upside down and, you know, trees are broken and power lines are down. And you see it all and you're like, it isn't normal yet. Things aren't back to normal. And it's a continual reminder that we've really gone through a whole lot in this area. We've experienced so much. I mean, if I haven't heard one person say this, I've heard a dozen. Well, I was out of town. And all of a sudden, I start driving back into Asheville, and it's like so heavy. It is so depressing. And you hear this time and time again. But I think there's a way that we can recapture, have our joy restored back in our lives. And it's not contingent upon them cleaning up Swannanoa. As much as I want Swannanoa to be cleaned up, I think it's going to be a little while. So I can't wait for that to get cleaned up for me to get joyful. So I have to discover what Paul discovered. He didn't wait for his prison door to open before he got joyful. He got joyful while he was behind bars. So we have to determine, are we going to choose something that is truly a gift from the Holy Spirit? I mean, it's supernatural to be joyful when it's all looking pretty gloomy out there. And it's truly a gift from the Holy Spirit that's birthed in the heart of man that gives you the ability to live on a higher plane. It gives you the ability to see past all the carnage and see the joy of the Lord. So I'm realizing that as a people, we have an opportunity to discover what Paul discovered, that he didn't have to hear the clingling, the keys banging back and forth with something coming to open the door. He could enjoy so much the moment that his moment was going to make room for God in the midst of that cell. And he could tell the whole church, he could tell the body of Christ, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. As a rat ran over his foot. So I want to look at seven ways to restore your joy. And the first is this. And that is that joy can be restored in your life if you've lost it. David discovered that after one of his worst moments in life, he had just slept with another man's wife and had her husband killed. And he says in Psalm 51:8, he's able to pray this after all that he had done because he knew his life brings God much delight. He makes this prayer. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy once again and gladness. And let the bones which you have broken rejoice. And then he prays this in verse 12. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. What a prayer. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Can you guys remember the first time you got saved? I mean, were you filled with joy? It's a joy that's unspeakable. I mean, I was so in love with the Lord, had such an encounter with the Father's love. I mean, I would tell everybody. I mean, I was obnoxious, I'm sure. But I would tell everybody about the love of God. Because I had such joy in my heart because I was so unhappy for so long. When I discovered that I was loved unconditionally, that all my sins were forgiven, the Spirit of the living God was on the inside of me, I was a carrier of God's love on the inside. I had to tell everybody, you can have what I got, and it's good. Just get it. And so, but through life and situations, you know, experiences that we go through in life, I mean, it can kind of erode. And you lose that first love. But I believe that there is a joy, the same joy that you received when you got saved, can be with you all the days of your life until you meet the Lord. I think it's a joy that we have to cultivate, we have to protect, we have to watch over. It's a joy that is rooted in not in our circumstances, but in the Spirit of the living God. So David is asking God to restore his joy because he lost it. How did he lose it? Through sin and sorrow. And the good news is that your joy can be restored today just by asking in prayer. Secondly, in recapturing our joy, we will also discover that joy is found in God's presence and not in your circumstances changing. Joy is found in God's presence and not in your circumstances changing. Psalm 16:11 says this. David says, "You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy." So if you've lost your joy, spend time in his presence. Be with him. Cry out to him and get in his presence. And it's in this presence that you're in. It's like you can just get up and dance. I mean, come on. And as you spend time in him and delight in him and worship him and experience him and love him and adore him and minister unto him. It's in his presence that he's like he just says, "I got something for you. Feel this. Woo! Joy." You know, it's like, I mean, it's because it is a sacrifice of praise. We offer other, listen, if you're not feeling it, if you're worshiping the Lord and you don't feel it, guess what? That's a sacrifice of praise. That is something you're doing because you don't feel it. You're doing it because he's worthy. And as you worship him and adore him, all of a sudden he floods you with this supernatural joy. Get in his presence. Get in his presence and enjoy him and be with him. And it springs forth. It's like an artesian well on the inside. Woo! It just comes up. The truth is that no one can care better for you than God. So experiencing the warmth of his loving presence is what our soul longs for. And And his love is kind of like, I love what they say in the Passion translations. It's the wraparound love of God. I love that wraparound love of God. I mean, just holds you. You know, Papa's holding you. And it's the longing of your heart. And when that love just wraps around you, stay in it. Abide in it. Rest in it. Just enjoy it. And joy will spring forth. Joy that is unspeakable. And then coming forth from joy, what happens when you experience joy? You experience an inner strength of the Holy Spirit because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I haven't had strength for a while. I feel a little bit, you know, under it. I'm challenged with all that's going on. This joy on the inside gives you the ability to be strong, to stand in the weight of all that you're going through, because the joy of the Lord is powerful. Because it says that for the joy set before him, as Christ went to the cross, the joy set before him, he endured it. He endured the cross with internal strength, and he knew that what he was getting ready to go through, the joy of knowing that he was going to redeem mankind back to his Father, the joy knowing that he was going to defeat death, hell, and the grave, the joy knowing that he was going to capture his Father's prized possession, and that's you. The joy of knowing that he was doing it for his disciples. He was doing it for all of mankind. He was willing to lay it all down because he knew the prize was big. And in this, he had such joy. And he knew great things were ahead. And this enabled him, I'm telling you, after all that he went through, and to be able to still carry his cross up the Via Dolorosa, after he'd already lost so much blood, after he'd been beaten, after all the abuse that he had gone through, and to be able to have a strength to put that beam on his shoulder and to keep walking up the Via Dolorosa is amazing. It is just mind-boggling to think that he had the strength to carry his own beam. So he had the ability to face the greatest adversities because of joy. So if you're lacking joy, make a determined effort to spend time in God's presence. Some of you just need to pull away and be with God. Just be with him. And as you abide in his love, as he instructed his disciples in John 15, it says his joy will be in us, and that our joy will be made full. It's kind of like he's saying, okay, if you come and be with me, you're not only going to get, you know, a thimbleful, you're going to get full love, full joy. It's going to be so full, abundant, overflowing in your life. Thirdly, joy comes as a result of walking rightly before God. Psalm 97:11 says this, light shines on the godly and joy on those whose hearts are right. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says this, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to those who please him. If you have unaddressed sin in your lives, it will diminish the level of experience of joy that you're going to have. Out of obeying his word brings joy to your heart. And when you, on the other hand, when we're walking with God with a clear conscience, joy increases in your life. When your conscience is clear, the joy increases. On the other hand, if you have unaddressed sin in your life, deal with it. Deal with it. Repent of it. Turn from it. and have your joy return to your life. Fourthly, joy is found in delighting in God's word. Psalm 119:11 says this, "Your statutes are my inheritance forever. They are the joy of my heart." They are the joy. Does God's word bring joy to your heart? I mean, I love the priest in the when they would carry the Torah. You know, people would just, as they walk by, they would kiss it. They would just, there was such a love in their heart for his word that his word brings life. His word, at the entrance of his word, opens up your heart to who God is. You know, some people dream about someone who would leave them a big inheritance. Have you ever thought, you ever had, you think, what do I got a distant cousin maybe down the road that might have like, you know, a couple million, you know? You always think, I wonder if I got a long lost relative I don't know about and they're a millionaire, you know, leave you some money. But honestly, the best kind of inheritance like that can only bring temporary happiness. But the Bible is an inheritance from the Lord. And it's better than gold. It's better than diamonds or rubies. And it's been passed down to you and me, and that's his word. And when we see the Bible as a treasure that we have inherited, invariably, the mindset will lead to joy. When you see God's word as a treasure, it will lead you to joy. Because everything in this book will be fulfilled. Every promise is yes and amen. All of the promises are for us. It's our inheritance. And it's like, take and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Everything in here is good. And it's going to be fulfilled. And fifthly, joy is found in answered prayer. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You know, several years ago, Eliza and I went to Handel's Messiah. And I'm telling you, if you've never seen the Handel's Messiah, it's an experience. And there's a moment in the production when they do the Hallelujah chorus, and you know, a lot of people, you don't expect it, but it's like, I mean, a lot of these people, I don't know if they know God or not, but at the Hallelujah chorus, everybody stands to attention. Everybody is like captivated by that moment of what Christ has done for us. And in this Hallelujah chorus, it's like, I mean, it's Katie Bar the Door. It is incredible. And so we're there, but we were there 3 years ago, and we experienced it, and we were on the front row. And, you know, on the front row, you're having to look up at everybody, and I couldn't really see the choir. I couldn't really see all the musicians and everybody. So I said, you know, I look back about seven rows in the middle, and I realize, wow, that is the best place to be. Just because you can see everything, you're right there at eye level, you're close. And I said, you know, Lord, if we ever come back, I'd like to sit there. I like to take Eliza there. And so this year we decided to go to the Handel's Messiah again. So I went online, looking at the tickets. The whole middle section, 500 seats, were gone, except two. Seven rows back, right in the middle. And I went, Jesus, I love you. You answered my prayer. I said, Lord, that was a kiss from heaven. And so we got the two seats that I actually put my eyes on and said, Lord, I'd like those two seats. And we had a wonderful time at Handel's Messiah. I brought my heart such joy. That's what answered prayer does. It brings your heart joy. When he answers something, you're like, you really did it, God. You really came through. I mean, my heart was just filled to overflowing. And sixthly, joy is produced as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:5-25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, one measure of the Spirit working in your life is that it's producing joy. The Holy Spirit is joy. So Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He can't be something other than who he is. Well, if he's joyful and he's in a good mood, then guess what happens to you? The Holy Spirit, he's releasing the joy of the Father on the inside of you. And if the Spirit if you're not experiencing this joy, then it's important to consider that maybe something in your life may be blocking the work of the Holy Spirit. You've got to give attention to that. If the joy isn't flowing, it's not on his side of the equation. It's you. So it's important for you to evaluate what is blocking the work of the Holy Spirit, which is to bring joy into my life. Ask the Lord to identify what is the blockage and remove it so that a river of joy can flow in your heart. You know, don't let any beaver dam up anything in your life. Get the dam out of the way so that the river of joy flows in your life. And lastly, joy is produced as you trust in him. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward of you trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. I mean, that's incredible. Do you trust him that he's your protector? Do you trust him that he's your provider? Do you trust him that he is your peace? Do you trust him that he will take care of your children? Do you trust him that he'll take care of your finances? Because his word says he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Do you trust his word? And as you trust in his word, it brings a joy in knowing that all is going to be well in your home. Trust him with everything. Trust him with your health. Trust him with your wealth. Trust him with your family members. And as you're waiting and trusting in him, there's a joy that's released in your heart that is supernatural. So if because of all that we've been through, and we have been through a lot in this valley, Have we not? If it's hard for you to enter into the joy of the Lord in this Christmas season, it's important for you to really do a little evaluation, because it's available and it can start today. Joy can come back today. The awareness of joy in your life can return. And it's joy that's unspeakable. So as we meditate upon the greatest gift ever given to mankind, the birth of our Savior, the joy of the Lord, let's just meditate upon the fact that the Christ child came in a manger, came in very difficult situations, being in a trough that probably didn't smell real well. This little beautiful creation in the midst of a cave that was dark and dusty and everything, all of heaven opened up, and the shepherds saw the angels singing glory and praising the name of the Lord of the Most Highest, giving praise unto Christ Jesus. And it says that they just ran with joy in their heart. They had to tell everybody in town. They had to tell everybody what they had just saw. But in the midst of a situation where it probably wasn't very convenient for Mary to give birth in a stable, but the reality is that there was such joy coming out of that moment that it filled all of the hearts of people in that area, and they couldn't contain themselves. I want this Christmas to be the most joyous Christmas for everybody in this church. It is ours. It is our inheritance. It is for the taking. Paul says, here, come on, just have it. Take some. It's yours. You can have it. The joy on the inside of me, just have it. Let's enter into the joy of the Lord in this season. Experience heaven on earth. You know, God's perspective on things of this whole area is that it's not over with yet. You know, He can make everything right. He can turn everything around. And I'm believing that's going to be our inheritance this year. So let's all stand together. Thank you, Daniel. Holy Spirit, I ask that you, as you do best, that you would illuminate and shine your light upon areas of our life. And Lord, if there's anyone that has lost their joy because of life circumstances, I'm asking God today that, as David prayed, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I'm asking today, Lord, that joy would be restored in the hearts of your people. And Lord, I thank you that today is a day where joy can have its way. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would spring forth in the hearts of your people. That, Lord, just as the lame man went walking and leaping and praising God with a joy of knowing that Jesus, you saw him and you healed him and restored him. Lord, I pray this day for the joy of the Lord to become everyone's strength in this house. Let joy fill our hearts, God, to overflowing. And I'm asking today, Lord, that our hearts would sing once again. Our hearts would sing with joy once again. And God, I thank you and praise you that it's a supernatural event that takes place in the heart of man. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask now that you would fill people's hearts with joy unspeakable. And I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world as a baby, for making a way for us. That we could find our way back home to the Father. We thank you, Jesus, for everything. I'd like to have some of the prayer team come on up. And, you know, if you've lost a measure of your joy, I believe today can be rediscovered. So if you need some prayer to have the joy of the Lord back in your life, I want you to come forward. If you need some prayer, just encouragement, just for all that you've maybe have gone through, experience, whatever your need is, I just want you to know that the Lord's here for you. And he wants to touch your heart and make all things new. Lord, I pray you'd bless and keep each and every one here. I thank you, Father, that your blessings are overflowing in all of our lives. I pray you bless and keep each and every one, and that, Lord, you'd be gracious to them. And that, Lord, you would lift up your countenance upon everybody and give them your peace. And I thank you, Jesus, for your peace. It's in your name we pray. Amen.